Miss Angus, good to be back in the Lord's house. Good to have everybody with us tonight. We want you to pray for us a few moments of time. We won't be very long. And we'll give you what the Lord has laid on our heart. And we would like to say the Lord is with us every step of the way and every day. Even he didn't say we wouldn't have problems. He didn't say we wouldn't get sick. But he said, with all of this, I'll be there with you. And I'll help you through it. So we know that the Lord is the one that helps us through all things. Amen. We that know him, been saved by his grace, we want you to pray for us. And everybody here, I hope, is ready to meet the Lord. If you're not, Jesus has made the plan. He died on the cross, risen Savior. He paid the debt for our sins, and it's up to us. When he calls, it's up to us to answer his call. When he knocks at our heart, wants us to come and accept him as our Savior and believe from our heart to the Savior of the soul, that's up to us. He won't make us. He don't put no pressure on us. He just shows us what we need, and then it's up to us to come to him. He said, let whosoever will come and drink of the water of life freely. No other person can give you salvation but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one that died. He's the one that came. And he's the Son of the living God. And he's the one that paid the price. And he's the one that we've got to go to get forgiveness. Amen. He's the only one. He said, I know your heart. I know your thoughts before you even think them. Amen. So he knows what we are. He knows what we have need of tonight. Whether we tell anybody or not, he knows all about us, Chester. He knows our heart, and if we've been saved by his grace, we're his children. And he's leading us. If we've not been saved by his grace, then we're not his children, and he can't lead us because we've not submitted that to the Word of God and believe upon the Son of God. And we're going home after a while. He said, prepare to meet thy God. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question tonight, everyone that's here. How are you preparing to meet God? That's a good question we need to ask ourselves. Have we prepared in the right way? Have we prepared on the right foundation? How are we preparing to meet God? The only one way that we can. Familiar scripture in the Bible, the book of Matthew, I believe it is, when he talked in the four Gospels, when he talked to a man that was in Jerusalem. Everybody knows the story, Nicodemus. Everybody knows that man. Everybody in Jerusalem knew him. He was the leader of Judah, of Jerusalem. He was set on the Sanhedrin Hebron court, and he taught the law. He was a big man in society. And he come to Christ one day by night. He didn't want nobody to see him. He didn't want his colleagues to see him going to this man called Jesus and asking him some questions. Because the Pharisees and Sadducees, they rejected him. Because he didn't come the way they thought he would. He didn't come with a great authority. He come as a child, born as a poor person. No room at the inn, and he was born in a manger where the cows and horses fed. They couldn't accept that because they thought they was better than that. And so this man come to Jesus by night, and he said, Lord, I know that thou art sent from God. I know you come from God. And Jesus looked at him. You know what he said? He said, you must be born again. Now that bogged the mind of that man. The first thing he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, how can I enter the second time my mother's womb to be born? How can this happen? You see how the natural mind runs? And the Lord said, Nicodemus, you know the commandments? Yeah. He said, but thou likest one thing. You must be born again. That's two times he told me in that conversation. He said, you must be born again. And he asked him a question, how can this happen? He said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, Nicodemus, the first time you had birth, your mother gave birth to you, that was of the flesh. Amen. Now I'm talking about a spiritual birth inside of your heart, in your soul. You've got to be born again there, made a new creature in your soul. That's what he's talking about. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Told him three times in that conversation. Now, what do you think Nicodemus done? When Jesus, they took him off the cross, Nicodemus was there to help him. And there's a long story, I won't get into that. But the point of it is, Jesus said, no matter who we are, we've got to be born again spiritually. Good works, how good we may be, won't get us to heaven. That won't happen. We're born unto good works. We're born to follow Jesus. We're born to do his work, obey his word, and do his work that he put us in our gives us to do in this world, that we can be a light to those that's walking in darkness. I don't depend on nobody else to take me to heaven. I know some good preachers. You got a good pastor here. I know him before he ever started preaching, before he was ever saved. But I don't depend on him to get me to heaven. I got to depend on myself and the Lord Jesus Christ, what I do with him in my heart. That's the only way you're going to get there. You can go to all the churches you want to. You can be baptized in every water hole in the country and die and go to hell. Hell is real, and hell is waiting on those that reject what Jesus said. And this is where society is. They don't want to humble their heart and believe in something they can't see. I've had men tell me, how do you believe in something you can't see? It's by faith. By grace through faith are you saved. That not of works, lest any man should boast, but is a gift of God. If we could see it, it wouldn't be by faith. So what he done, he come and died, went to the cross, and the law required a perfect sacrifice, and he was that. Laid down his life for you and I, our sins. They put him in a tomb, and 3 days, just like he said, he rose again. Now, while he was on the cross, there was a man got saved. One of the thieves that was, two of them that was crucified with him, one on each side. One on one side said, I think I'm not like these other fellas. I'm better than this. In other words, I'm not guilty of what I've done. The other one on the other side just dropped his head. He said, we're guilty of the crime that they're punishing us for. We're guilty. And so what did that one man say? He looked over at Jesus hanging on the cross. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in to thy kingdom. Jesus turned and looked at him. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. What did that man do? That man acknowledged him that he was the Lord, that he was the Savior. And he said, remember me. In other words, I got faith in you. I trust you. You can help me. I'm dying. They've got me on the cross. I'm punishing for my sins. I deserve this, but this man don't deserve what he's getting. That's what he said. He admitted who he was. He admitted he was sinful. He admitted he was guilty, and that's what we got to do to Jesus Christ, to admit that we're guilty of sin. Amen. And God will forgive us if we go to him. And that's what that man done. He said, Lord, remember me. He acknowledged he had a kingdom. He acknowledged who he was, and he knowed he could help him, even though he was hanging on the cross. Now that's how precious, and that's what great love that God gives to the world. And why would anybody want to miss it? Why would anybody want to let somebody deceive them and tell them there's another way? There's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He said, you must come through and by the door, and I am the door. You can't even get to the Father without going through the door. You can't go through nothing else. I'm not dependent on these religious leaders getting me to heaven. No, sir, I'm dependent on Jesus Christ. That's where my trust is. And that's where I repented. That's what I repented to. And I asked him to forgive me my sins. And he did. He said, the very minute you believe, I'll come in. You asked in faith, Lord, help me. I'm sorry that I'm sinful. I repent of what I am. Save my soul. The very minute you believe that in your heart, and there ain't nobody has to tell you you're okay, you will know it as soon as you get it.
Amen.
You will know it because he comes in and the Holy Ghost comes in with him and he seals up that soul and you're a new creature. Amen. On the inside. The outside looks the same, but you what? Follow him, and you won't go to the places that you used to go. You'll go to God's house to worship him and uplift him. Prepare to meet thy God. Now, we're going to read some scriptures in the book of Revelation, 22nd chapter, I believe it is, and there's a lot of scriptures to this. Scriptures I'm going to read, and we won't be able to read it. Read all the scriptures in the book of Revelation. First, we're going to go to the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. We're going to talk about 12 tribes. And I'm going to ask you a question when I get done reading these scriptures, we get into the message a little bit, and while you see what God will do and what God won't do. He says here, 14th chapter, book of Revelation, the first verse, and he said, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts. And the elders, no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. They are virgins. These are they which followed the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Thank you for standing for the reference of God's word. Now we want you to notice. I want to ask you a question. Why was it in the Bible? Why was Dan, and that we find in the 7th chapter of book of Revelation, he tells us all the tribes, the 12 tribes there of Israel. We find that the 12 tribes there he named over. Why was Dan, he was a son of Jacob. And he was what? Rachel's maid was his mother, Dan's mother. And so why was Dan cut off from the 12 tribes. You answer that because it don't name him in the book of Revelation of the 12 tribes that were sealed. There was 12 of them, 12,000 of each tribe that were sealed. But Dan was a son of Jacob. Why was he cut off? So you go back in the book of Judges, I believe it is, and we won't go back over there and read that because it take too long. You go back in the book of Judges and you'll find that he there when he was born. He was born and that to the maid of Rachel. We find then as he grew up, God took into the tribes of Israel and cut them up and give them portions of land. We find that Dan was the smallest tribe, and he was got the smallest piece of ground if you study the Bible. And the ground that he got was over next to Palestine. It was up on a hill, and he had some down off the hill, but he had, and ever the rest of them, the 12 tribes, was camped out around him with their property. And so they was given that. And so he took Dan, and Dan was up on a hill like. And the water up on that hill gushed down, according to the study, and run into the River Jordan. And therefore, why did God cut him out and not seal his people there in the 144,000? God had a reason for it. Now, the Bible don't come out and say this, but if you'll study the whole story, you'll find that Dan and that his people, when he was in that, went out to do what God said, he took what? He had a priest with him. I believe Michael was his name. He had a priest, and this priest brought, picked up some molten images with him. He picked up a statue, a molten image of gold, and he took it in, and Dan told him to come on, come with us. He invited him right in amongst them, you see, to bring this image that he had, and that was against what God said. God said, have no none of these things before you. But he had it anyway. And so he took that and he walked on in, and this priest made him feel good. This priest almost shouted. In other words, he's a tickle to death. But we find that Dan, when he brought it in, the Bible says that they took this image and took it into the temple of the house of God in Shiloh. And there they set it up. And that brother God got mad. He wasn't going to put up with no images in his house. Now, there's a lot more to the story, but you go there and read it. Now, he had men. He had an army. And they wasn't a very big army, but they couldn't win over some of them that was looking at. They went out to fight them, and they couldn't win it. But they had a good back. They were the smallest part. And so God, in other words, didn't put him in the number. Why? Because he invited this stuff in his house. In other words, he okayed it with his people. And so if you'll go on and study it, God is trying to get us a lesson. We can't have nothing else in our life but Jesus Christ, our Lord, to get saved. Amen. We can't depend on nothing else, put our trust in nothing else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He come to seek and save that which is lost. And he's still seeking to save that which is lost. Amen. Dan was cut off. He was the son of Jacob. You read the whole story, and you'll find that you can't sin against God, and God let you come into heaven. You're going to be made white, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're going to be cleaned up before you get inside the pearly gates. It's simple. If God cuts that tribe off, what do you think he'd do to this world? He'll have no problem if they don't believe and repent and accept him as their Savior. He'll have no problem of saying no. And that wasn't what he come for. He come to save that which was lost. He made a way of salvation. It's up to us to take it. If I walk back this tonight, and I had a gift. I had a bunch of money, $500,000. And I had it in a bag. And I come to you, And I say, you can have this $1 million if you'll come and get it. You've not seen inside the bag. You're going to wonder if it's really $500,000 in that bag. But I'm going to say, it's yours if you come and see it. Come and get it. And you stand there and look at me, I just don't hardly believe that. That's a lot of money. If I stand there and look at you and you don't ever make a move towards me, you're not going to get it. When somebody else comes up to get it, you're going to see that it was real and what they've got. And you're going to wish, man, I wish I'd have went. This is the way it is when Jesus comes back. There are going to be people that are standing out on the outside wanting to get in, and they can't because they waited too late.
That's right. Amen.
That's what Jesus has done. He's standing there. He's standing with outstretched hands saying, come unto me, all you ladies. Heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will give you safety. Come to me, and I will be your Savior. It's up to you. If we stand and say, no, I just don't hardly believe that. I can't believe I put my faith in something I can't see. You stay like that, friend, when the trumpet of God sounds, he comes back, you're not going with him.
Amen.
Only those who've been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Those that's got a perfect soul. Perfect soul. And when the trump of God sounds, the resurrection is going to happen. Those that's been saved is going to get a new body with that soul. And they're going to go up to meet the Lord, evermore be with the Lord. Those that's unsaved, they're going to be standing here. And those that's unsaved has already died. The grave's going to deliver them up. And they're going to have a body, but not a glorified body. They're going to have a body. What kind of body are they going to have? This body here, you see, you can put in a 2,000 a temperature oven and hit a burner. They burn them every day. You can burn it to ashes. But this body that you'll get on that day, it won't burn up. You can feel, you'll have your senses, you'll have your feeling, everything about you that you've got now. Only you have a body, when he casts in the lake of fire, it will suffer death. You wish to die, but you can't. But it won't burn up. It's torment forever and ever. Now, think about it. So what do you rather have? Heaven, where joy and peace is, and no darkness, and the Son of the living God walking amongst you, and God himself sitting on the throne, shining out a light out of that city into the new earth. Be no need for the sun and moon there, because there'll be no darkness. No night. One day. Folks, if you wait too long, you'll see where you missed it and you wish you had, but it's too late. See, you got to get it while he's passing by. That's what happened to Dan. Dan didn't get it, what the Lord said. The other tribes did. They obeyed God. He accepted them. They was resurrected, his resurrection, and they're with him. They learned a song that no other tribe could learn. And I don't know what it is. God didn't say. But we couldn't even learn it. But we're in the number, he said, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, I believe it. He said, when I seen this, John said, I seen the 144,000. Had the seal of God in their forehead. God put a seal there to identify them. And they went home to be with him. The Bible teaches us they're around the altar. A lot of people don't like this, but they're around the altar. Day and night. It's now. Now. God means what he said. He said, I'll have mercy upon all. But we've got to accept it. If you don't accept mercy, you'll never get to heaven. That was a president, our forefathers, years ago. I forget the man's name. He committed a crime. And they was going to hang him. It was back in the days when they hung him. And this man had committed a crime. And the president of the United States, this had been years and years ago, give him a pardon. I'm going to give you a pardon. In other words, what he's saying to him, you won't have to die. But you know what that man done? He refused that pardon of that president. He refused to take it. So what did he do? They killed him. Why? Just because he refused a pardon. That's what Jesus has given us today. He's given everybody a pardon from sin. We won't have to die and go to hell. But we got to take. We got to accept it. Why is that so hard for people to accept that Jesus has given them life? I paid it. I paid your debt. And here I've got mercy. I got love. And I'm just asking you to believe in me and trust me. That's all I'm asking you to do. Just turn over your life to me and depend fully upon me. That's all he's asking. Why is that so hard? It should not be hard, because John said, I seen after this. You go read the book of Revelation. He said, I seen a number that no man can number from every nation under the sun, all over the earth. He said, I've seen the numbers raining white as pearl. Who are these? He said, these are they that come up through the great tribulation, been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. No man can number that. Man, that's us, church. I was in that number. How about you? Would you be in that number? Nothing else is going to get you there, friend. You can go to church all you want to. It's good to go to church. You can be good to your poor people if you want to be. That's good. You can give everything you have. That's good. But it's not going to get you to heaven. One thing is going to get you to heaven. And that's repent and believe from your heart. And God has got to hear it from you. Not somebody else. My dad couldn't pray my prayer. My dad couldn't repent for me. And yours can't either. The preacher couldn't repent for me. And your preacher can't either. You've got to do it yourself. Jesus makes so sure that he gives everybody an opportunity. He makes certain of that. And when he touches your heart, with the spirit of conviction, what is that? When God opens your eyes, touches your heart with the spirit of conviction, you see then what you really are and what you need. That's what he said, the spirit of conviction. I will touch you. That's what he does. He opens up to us what we are, what we need. We need him. And he said, come. Now you're going to be in that number. You're going to have to be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. Must born again. When Jesus says must, there's no way around it. No way you can get around that. Brother Victor, as good a man as he is, a good preacher. He could not pray my prayer. I've got to pray myself. I got to ask myself. I got to believe myself in my heart. Nobody can forgive me of my sins but Jesus Christ. That's it. It couldn't be no plainer than that, folks. I wouldn't let somebody lead me to hell. God, open up your understanding and see that you're headed the wrong way. All you got to do is come to an altar of prayer. Say, Lord, I need you. I want to be saved. Do like that thief on the cross. Lord, remember me. Remember me. He never was baptized, but the Lord said, you'll be with me in paradise. Water baptism is not necessary. We do it because we joined the church, show that we've come out from under sin, we've been resurrected, made alive in Christ Jesus in this land. But it's not a must to be born again. What we've got to be born again, we must be baptized with the fire and the Holy Ghost. It purifies the soul. And when he puts a seal around it, that Satan can't get in there, but what Satan does, he fights us through the flesh. You never get rid of the flesh until you leave this world. That's the only time you're going to get rid of it. Your flesh is not going to heaven anyway. This flesh that you're wearing is not going to heaven because it could be burned up. And God wouldn't want this mess in heaven. Too sinful. So he said, I prepared for you a new one. Something that you can stand in my presence with. And I'll walk over the hills of glory, shouting praises. I want to see him, but I'm going to see one man that I really want to see. I'm going to see Jesus first. He saved me. But I want to see a preacher that I've read about in the Bible year after year, so many years. I want to go see him and talk to him, the Apostle Paul. I want to tell him how that he encouraged me through the Bible. He was a man that stood for what the Lord said and never backed up. No matter what, he didn't whimper. He didn't back up. You say, preacher, you think you're going to talk to him? Sure, I'm going to talk to God's people when I get there. We're not going to be a bunch of spirits floating around and not knowing where we're at. I'm going to know where I'm at, James. I'm going to be in the perfect place that God's prepared for his people, and no sin's ever been on it. What's going to happen to this earth? Well, he told us what would happen to it. He said, I'm going to burn it up. I'm going to destroy it. Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. We're in dwelleth righteousness. You couldn't get no better than that. You couldn't get no greater love than that from nobody. Your parents can't even love you that much. Is what Jesus loved us. We was unfit to go to heaven. We was too sinful. It wasn't what I done made me a sinner. It was the sin in my flesh that led me in that direction. But where did I get sin? I inherited it from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they're the ones that disobeyed God first, and God drove them out of the garden. Said, you can't get back in. But he made a way that they could get back in through him. And that's why that we're born in sin and we're sinful. Because of what they've done. We inherited it. first man Adam. The second man Adam brought grace and faith. So you see, God has a way to showing us all. We may have ideals in our heart. We may have an ideal, believe what we believe, and think that we're going to get to heaven like that. But folks, Jesus said this. There's not but one way. He said, I am the way. There's just one path. That's a straight and narrow path. It's not a bunch of them. You don't have a bunch of runoffs. Just one way leads from earth to glory. The straight and narrow path. And Jesus has gotten the way. As I walk through this world, he's with me, Chester. I may let him down, but he's still with me. And he knows the line of the landmines that's poured out that Satan's got setting up before me, that he's trying to deceive me. He's trying to destroy me. And he knows where the mines is. He knows how to get me around them without getting hurt. That's what Jesus does. He takes us through this world without getting hurt. Satan can't destroy us. As long as we're following him. That's the trick. Follow the Lord. The Bible. We've got instructions. He gives us instructions. Stay out of sin. Shun the appearance of evil. And uphold that which is right. He said, this is my word. Behold, I come in a binding book. It is written to me, O Lord, to do thy will. That's what Jesus said. There'll be no greater person that ever set foot on this earth than Jesus Christ. Get a song. Look, I want to ask you tonight. I don't know the hearts of nobody. God does. I've just told you what God put on my heart and told you. You can go in the Bible and read it. There's coming the final day that we're going to have to give an account for what we've done in this life, what we've done with Jesus. When the trumpet sounds, I'm going to rise to meet him. This old body, if I'm living, it's just going to fall back to the earth, and I'm going to get glorified by it. And the soul's already perfect, sealed up, so I'm going to enter into that body. It'll be more pleasure than I can ever imagine. Because I've never been in a place that's not sinful. I can't imagine a earth not being no sin. But I'm going to see it someday. You can too. Jesus made it possible no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what nationality you are. He's made the plan of salvation for everybody. All he says, come. When we feel the knocking of the Holy Spirit, when we feel God tugging at our heart, we may say, well, now I think I'm all right. I've done this and I've done that. But if you've got condemnation in your heart, you know whether you're right with God or not.
Amen.
You know that. The individual knows. I don't know it, but God knows. Now, you can lie to yourself. You can say, I'm okay, and not be okay. But if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, been forgiven of your sins, you know that you've been born again. Because he lifts that heavy load of sin, and he puts joy in our heart, in our soul that's unspeakable. That even in the midst of trouble, we can still rejoice in him, Jesus. That's the kind of God he is. He don't leave us not knowing. He said, know in whom you have believed. Jesus loved us. He told us the truth. Somebody don't love you, they won't tell you the whole truth. They'll tell you half truth. Then what they think. That's not somebody that loves you. Somebody that loves you will be honest with you. He said, I'll tell you the truth because I love you. I know it's not what you want to hear, but he said, this is what it is. So we got to make a choice. Brother James, you fellas sing, and I'm going to ask everybody to search your soul, search your heart. Look down in it. Don't depend on what you've done. Don't depend on what you've been doing. But depend on what's in your heart tonight. If you can't get that satisfied feeling, satisfied heart, and know that you've been ready and born again to meet God, we want you to come up here and pray and ask God to save your dying soul. Because that's what you're doing, friend. You're dying day after day. And you can be in that number, no man can number. And you won't have to ask nobody if you're going to be there. You'll know that you're there. It's a no-soul salvation. I don't have to ask Brother Victor. I don't have to ask my pastor. I don't have to ask anybody. I know that I've been forced and made white in the blood of the Lord. But I have a great desire in my heart to follow Jesus Christ. I never had it there before. This not on top of my shoulders. It's an image to God. It's in reverse, the carnal mind, to what God wants. We got to bring it under control to do what God said. That's what we got to do with this brother. God's waiting. He sent the message out to everybody. Whosoever will, let him come. Drink of the water of life. He's a spiritual drink. He's the spiritual water of eternal life. Drink of this water and you will thirst no more. What he said? What are you going to do with it? How are you with your soul tonight? That's the most important question you can ask yourself. How about God speaking to you? You say, preacher, do I come up out of the altar? No, just bow right where you at. We'll come back out and pray with you, wherever you might be. God is waiting. He's willing to save whosoever will. That's it. I couldn't tell you nothing else. If I did, I'd be lying to you. I'm just telling you, Jesus is the only way. He died for our sins, and he'll forgive us of our sins and wash and make us white in the blood of the Lamb. If you don't have that applied to your soul, you're not going to be in heaven. Sad to say, you're not going to be there. Hell's going to be full of good people. And I hate to say that. Hell's going to be full of good people. What did Jesus tell them back there? The scribes and Pharisees, they was coming to him. They was talking to him. They rejected what he said. He said, the prostitute will go in before you will. Them that's committing sin, they'll go in before you. Why? Because they will acknowledge what they are. The most ungodly man there is. God knocks at his heart, touches with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of conviction. He bows his head and repents of his sin. God will save him. And good people is not accepted. That's a shame. Why? Because Satan is right there telling you you're okay. What you're doing is fine. It's going to get you there. But when the end comes, he'll be laughing at you because he deceived you. That's what Satan will do. Look at the rich man. What did he say when he got to hell? He looked across the gulf. Nobody can go across it. He seen the beggar, Lazarus, in Abraham's bosom. He said, oh, Father Abraham. He knowed who Abraham was, didn't he? He said, send Lazarus back In other words, the very banker that he walked by and was too high-headed to even stop and talk to him. Here he's asking Abraham, send that banker back to warn my five brothers that they not come to this awful place. I'm tormented in these places. That was the message right out of hell. That ought to be enough to tell us that hell is real. That's not all you're going to get. When he brings you out of hell, you stand before judgment, then he's going to put you in a lake of fire. And that's going to be really terrible, more terrible. You'll pray to die and death to flee from you. You'll be so miserable in all of eternity. Can you imagine that? And you'll be looking across the gulf, and you'll see God's people shouting his praises, enjoying paradise, enjoying heaven. You look across. I wish I'd listened. I wish I'd repent, but it's too late. Too late. Now's the day. Now's the time. This is why we got time. Because when Jesus comes back, eternity sets in. It's over. You don't make the Lord's decision. When death comes to this body of mine, I go out to meet the God. I've made the last decision that I'll make. God makes them then on where I'm going to go. And when he looks down in my soul and he sees it's been washed and made white, man, he just reaches and gets it. Lays it under the altar. Rest there, boy. Cease from your labors. Rest. You're the risen grace. But you that's lost, it's not going to be that way. When you die, he's going to look at your soul, not been washed. You go down to hell. Satan's going to be waiting on you and laughing at you as you come in. I deceived you, didn't I? I got you. That's what he's going to be doing. Laughing. I wouldn't want that. I don't like nobody laughing at me anyway. That would make me mad. But it don't do no good in that day. You can get mad all you want to. But you will think back to the preacher that preached the word of God and told you that you better get ready. You'll remember that. How about it? Jesus is waiting. Whosoever will, just come and acknowledge to him. Trust him. Faith believing from the heart. Lord, I want this. I can't help myself, but you help me. Like the thief on the cross. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. He acknowledged. That's what we got to do, folks. Acknowledge. How about it? Jesus is waiting. Waiting today. God is not going to sidestep his word at all. It's the same for everybody. The rich man, the poor man, got to get saved the same way. That's it. You're not going to heaven because of what you are. You're going to heaven because of what God made you what you are. Made you fit for heaven. We want to thank you for your prayers, your kind attention. I trust everybody's obeyed the Lord. Everybody's ready to meet the Lord. I don't know your heart. Only God does. I give to you what God put on my heart. It's up to you. No matter who you are. It was up to me. My dad took me to church. He went to church. He was a preacher. My dad was. But his preaching couldn't give me a ticket to get into heaven. Amen. Because he was a good man. That didn't give me a ticket. I had to get it for myself. I had to get it the same way he got it. By repenting and believing from my heart to the Savior of the soul. And I had to go to Jesus Christ to do it. Something that I couldn't see. But I felt his spirit. And the very minute I believed that, he come in and changed my life. Made me fit for heaven. And I'm not afraid to die. Death don't fear me. I don't fear it. I don't want to leave. That's human nature. I'm not going to be afraid. I said, Lord, you got me. That's it. Anybody got anything? Where's Brother Jerry? I'm sure you